Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, the voice of the people, Martin.
I'm not the voice of the people. It's weird, okay?
You know, okay, so it's funny. I mentioned that in the last episode because people had been telling me that that's your title, and I guess I was kind of teasing you about it, and someone tweeted at me after I posted it. First of all, he is the voice of the people. And I was like, okay.
It's just weird.
This is not a laughing matter. This is serious. Okay, we're on the internet at DallasHoopsCast.com. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star rating would be much appreciated. We actually got a review or a rating. They didn't leave a review, so I don't know what they like about the show, but thank you for the rating. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed and join the conversation in the comments. First of all, Martin, I want to congratulate you since your team, the Bills, won their first playoff game since 1995.
Oh, okay. So, wasn't expecting
congratulations.
That.
Congratulations. Yeah. I'm happy for you.
I know it's kind of random that I'm a Bills fan living in Texas.
You've never lived in New York. You've been to New York.
One time. There's a long story behind it as to why I'm a Bills fan. But needless to say, I am a Bills fan for some weird reason. It was awesome that they won yesterday.
Yeah, it's funny because you were born in Arizona and you live
like
in
I
Texas.
Like I said, it's a very long, complicated
story.
You are
neither a Cowboys or a Cardinals fan. The Bills, though.
Random.
Like the worst team in the NFL for the past 20 years. Anyways, let's get started by talking about this entire past week of games, and then we'll go over the good, the bad, and the ugly within those. We'll respond to some listener comments and tweets and play a fun game where Martin tries to guess things that he doesn't know, because those are fun. But before we do that, I want to thank our sponsor for this episode.
Oh, we got a rando.
I'm thinking Pride and Prejudice. The movie
as a sponsor?
Yeah, just because I really like it, and I think that if they knew about the show, they would sponsor it.
Okay.
And so I know you'll never admit to this, but I know you really like it. You cry every time you watch it, so I felt like it was a fitting...
So it's not really a sponsor, it was just a way to do some shots on Martin.
No, because we both appreciate it. We both like it.
Yes, Pride and Prejudice is a good movie, and I don't care what anybody thinks. Yes. And they did not sponsor this show.
Thank you, Pride and Prejudice, for sponsoring this episode of Dallas Hoops Fancast. I think our audiences overlap, probably. That's why
I highly doubt that
they chose to sponsor it. Yeah. So, okay, so let's get started with the good, the bad, and the ugly from this past week. The Mavs are 3-0 this week. They beat the Rockets, they beat the Nuggets in overtime, awesome game, and they beat the Magic when they were very shorthanded, which we're going to talk about, but they did beat them, and the Magic are shorthanded too. So some of the good, I know one thing that we mentioned a few times in watching these three games was it looked like we were watching real basketball.
A real team.
For the first time in a while. It was like, it was real basketball.
It was nice to see, especially because the start of the season that we had, I think we started 2-4.
It was rough.
It was terrible, and we kept running out there with that same starting lineup that everybody wanted to see change. And then finally, out of nowhere, against the Rockets, Carlisle decides to change the starting lineup, putting Willie Cauley-Stein and Maxey in there, and moving Dorian to the three, and moving Hardaway to the bench, which is what a lot of people had talked about, how their size was just a problem on the rebounding and defensive side. So Carlisle finally listened to Twitter.
He listened to us.
And
I think that he listened to our pod specifically.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we got a new starting lineup. And since the starting lineup, the Mavs have been 3-0.
Yeah, I really like the starting lineup. I want to ask, I have that as like a whole separate segment. Do you want to do that or just talk about it now?
Yeah, let's just talk about it. We're already in it. A couple things I wanted to say about it.
Okay.
First of all, I love Maxey, Dorian, and Josh Richardson. They're guarding all the wings.
Yeah.
Maxey is a really good defender. He's a really good help side defender. Dorian playing the three is a lot more natural for him.
That's
on the defensive
position.
Side. Yeah. And then Josh Richardson, man, he has been awesome. He never stops. His motor on the defensive end is just continuous. He's never taking a playoff. So I love their defense. And then He hasn't been the greatest center in Mavs history, but he's been able to hold the fort a lot better than the previous center of Mavericks history.
You're talking about Willie Cauley-Stein.
And yeah. He's had some great moments. Mm-hmm. He's had some all right moments. Yeah. And he's had some like, all right, let's just try this another night.
Forget that.
Yes. But he's actually held his own. He's done a great job. And that the combination of length, size, and strength has really helped the Mavericks be a much better defensive team.
Yeah, I just think, like you said, playing Dorian at his natural position. And I talked to other people about this. I think it was on Reddit. And how Dorian, he's too small to play the four. And, you know, they brought up that a lot of fours nowadays, they play on the perimeter. So it's not like he needs to bang inside with them. And that is true. I get that. But I think you really saw it in his rebounding. Like, Dorian is a very good rebounder. He's a really good offensive rebounder. But his rebounds went way down. And it's because that's where it really affects him, his size. He's competing with these bigger guys for rebounds. And it wasn't working. And so I think putting him at his normal position, the three, makes a whole lot more sense. Obviously, Maxey's a really versatile defender.
Maxey's a much better rebounder.
He's a better rebounder.
And Dorian, I love Dorian. He's not a great like, every now and then he can sneak in for an offensive putback dunk or a couple offensive rebounds. But on the defensive end of the court, he's not the greatest defensive rebounder. He's not strong enough to hold a guy boxing out. Thank you. I was losing the term. He just isn't strong enough to do that consistently. And Maxey's a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, just a much better defensive rebounder.
Yeah. Well, and also Willie Cauley-Stein has done a good job on that end too. And the thing with Willie Cauley-Stein was I was never really into the idea of him starting. I know a lot of fans had been calling for that, and I was like, it's Willie Cauley-Stein. I mean, he got basically dumped by the Kings. Like, is this where we're at as a fan base?
Well,
where we want Willie Cauley-Stein to start? Like, that doesn't make me feel better, but he's been really good. And I still don't know if this is like, is this who he is? And maybe he's just grown from when he wasn't very good, or is this just a good stretch for him? I don't know, but I've been really impressed by him.
Well, you're not asking him to do a lot.
Yeah, true. I mean, it's all relative. He's not Anthony Davis, he's been good.
Yeah, you're not asking him to do a lot. You're asking him to hold the fort while Porzingis is out.
Exactly, yeah.
And he's done an okay job with that. Could the Mavericks be better? Obviously, yes, they are better. And his name's Kristaps. He's sitting on the bench. Mm-hmm. At some point this season, he's going to play.
He's going to play.
Yes.
At some point this season.
So, you know, he's done a good enough job there. It's sad, but it's a massive upgrade over Powell to start the season. Powell
just didn't have it.
For whatever reason, it wasn't working.
Yeah.
And so, yes, new starting lineup. Let's hope it stays. I think that when Porzingis comes back, there's some ideas out there that it'll be Maxey that's put to the bench. I completely disagree. I don't think you run out there with Porzingis at the four and Cauley-Stein at the five. I think it's too slow on the defensive end. I think Porzingis moves into the five and Maxey stays at the four. That way you have Maxey, Dorian, and Richardson leading the players to the rim where Kristaps will be waiting for him.
Yeah, well, and I think you need, in today's league, you need Maxey's versatility as a defender, especially at the four.
Mm-hmm.
Another good thing that we've seen this week, well, so we talked about their defense. One more note about that. They're currently fifth in the league in defensive rating.
Technically, they're tied for third.
Technically.
Because.
Is that true?
Yes. Those three teams where they landed fifth, they all are the same. So they're technically tied for third in the NBA for defensive rating, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, and that's without Kristaps. Yeah. So like, bro. They're 16th in offensive rating, but I mean, it's going up.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, so another good thing that I noticed is Luka is playing a lot better. I think he's starting to get into a rhythm, get his legs under him. I looked at his numbers from their first five games to these last three. I like the way you said.
Yeah, five games.
Good job. So in their first five games when they were 2-3, compared to these last three games where they're 3-0, everything has gone up. His shooting percentage has gone up 10%. His three-point shooting has gone up over 100%. He was shooting 14%. He's now at 30.5 in these three games. His free throw attempts have gone down but only one per game. And that's probably because in the Magic game, he got three fouls, which was dumb.
Stupid.
His free throw shooting has actually gone up to 16%. Rebounds have gone up. Assists have gone up 77%. Points have gone up. He was averaging 24.5. Now he's at 30. He's been a different player. And I think that's also part of why they've been so much better.
Oh, he was spectacular against the Rockets and especially
and the Nuggets
against Denver. Yeah. In the overtime, it was MVP Luka.
Oh, yeah.
He basically was like, we're not going to lose this
game. And I think you're so right about how he gets bored.
I definitely think he gets bored out there, and that's why sometimes his three isn't falling, the free throw isn't going in. But when it's a pressure moment,
when it's fourth quarter of a close game or overtime,
He's a different person.
Yeah.
He's just a different animal out there on the court. And that Denver game, him going toe-to-toe with Jokic was something special to watch. And, you know, Maxey obviously hit some big threes down the stretch, which is what you need from him to do if he's going to be a 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
Luka made the right play. But in that overtime, Luka was nasty. And he's got this, and it's been mentioned on some other pods, and we've kind of noticed it ourselves. He's shooting a lot more mid-range. And he hasn't really shot a lot of mid-range jumpers, but for some reason in the late-game situation, that's what teams are giving him, and he's shooting it, and they're going in. And we've talked about this where in the playoffs, that's really what helps you advance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know points per possession, the three-pointer is the better shot,
and
blah, blah, blah.
And we've talked about that,
all that
why
crap.
It makes sense.
But when you need one shot, you need one basket, a mid-range jumper is going to be the highest percentage shot. Well, obviously, if you can get to the rim,
but also,
they don't allow that.
That's like teams, that's the only shot they give you. They
want
you to take
let you
a
go
mid-range.
To the rim.
Yeah, so it's like that's what they're giving you, and so you have to take it, but you also have to be able to make it.
Yes. Well,
obviously.
It's, you don't advance.
You got to make shots if you want to win.
So he's hit some of those, which has been great to see. But and he kind of had an off night against the Magic. He shot 7 of 20. They really trapped him. And with all the injuries, they were like, somebody else needs to beat you.
And they did.
And they did, yeah.
Yeah. So Luke has been better. I think the new starting lineup is great. That lineup actually has the second highest plus minus of any lineup the Mavs have used.
Hmm.
Yeah. The highest was the random one that the Mavs rolled out against the Magic. So that doesn't count.
No.
Yeah, so it's got the highest plus minus on the team. And
still early. And we need Porzingis back.
Well, yeah, true. Also, lineups of the Mavs with two or more games played and 10 or more minutes, it's fourth in defensive rating and fifth in offensive rating.
There you go. That's what you need.
Yeah, so it's done really well. And again, I don't know about Willie Cauley-Stein. I don't know if he's going to keep doing this, but I like what I'm seeing. Defensively, he's making some really smart, not just good plays, but smart plays that
and then
require
sometimes
intelligence.
He has an occasional,
and I like that. He misses an alley-oop dunk, whatever.
Yeah.
And also, I like that he's playing within himself. I was kind of worried that maybe he would, like, you know, try to do too much. Like, I worked on all this stuff in the offseason, I'm going to do it in this game, or just make not smart plays offensively. But he's totally not.
Well,
he's just playing within the system.
That's good for him because, unfortunately, Carlisle, sometimes he can create this angst in a player where if they make a mistake, they're not going to see the court for another 10 games. And I think Willie Cauley-Stein's on that list of players that if he makes a couple of mistakes or he has a bad game, he's done. That's it. You're not going to see him ever again.
Yeah. So I think he's played well. And when Kristaps comes back, obviously. But now if you look at it, this team plus KP, I like that. I think it makes sense.
It's a much better team.
Yeah. Now, okay, so we're going to talk about, maybe we'll get to this whenever we move to the bad. In fact, I'll just move to the bad because it'll kind of get into that. The thing that I wrote down for the bad was that they still are struggling to make open shots. That is everyone outside of Luka. And I will say that this has gotten better in these three games. That's one reason why they're losing. But,
they're winning.
that's one reason why they're winning, which is better than losing. But what I was going to say was that I'm not sure, is that going to be a trend throughout the season where their role players maybe step up or don't step up? Just a couple of numbers on that. They're currently 18th in the league in field goal percentage on open shots. That means there's no defender within 4 to 6 feet. They're 20th in field goal percentage on open three-point shots. on wide open three-pointers, there's no one within 6 feet. They're 19th in the league, only shooting 39%. And that's basically a warm-up shot. So, like I said, it's getting better, but I wonder if that's going to fluctuate.
Well, obviously, I mean, it's not like Dorian and Maxey and Josh Richardson are known to be these dead-eye three-point shooters.
I mean, Dorian kind of got that reputation last year. I think Maxey has, too.
We've had this discussion before about Dorian, though. Dorian has to be wide open. Yeah, on the corner. If somebody's running at him, he can't get his shot off quicker. If it goes quicker, he's going to brick it.
Yeah.
So he has to be wide open in order to make those shots. And Maxey, I will say, has been a pleasant surprise shooting the three this year. Now, he doesn't get very many open ones, and that might be a sign of respect because teams are recognizing that he actually is a good shooter. It's good to be from Germany because they have that reputation. So as soon as he makes one, guard him.
Yeah, he's shooting 47% on three-pointers.
Yeah, so he's been good.
That's insane.
Richardson hasn't been as good as we'd like to see. He's kind of had an up and down start of the season on the offensive end. Now, defensively, he's been great, but on the offensive end, it's been kind of up and down. But the Mavericks, a lot of these numbers are from the beginning of the season where they were really, really
That's
bad.
That's true.
And I'd like to know the percent difference from number 19 to number 10. You know, is it 39% is number 19, whereas 30 or 41% is number 10? You know, it's like, how much of a difference are we talking here?
Well, you can look that up.
Well, I won't.
Good. So, I mean, It's not the bad this week because it's been good this week, but it was really bad before, and so I'm unsure about it.
That to me wasn't my bad.
Oh, what was your bad?
The bad that I had for this week was the officiating.
I thought
I'm not saying the Mavericks were on the wrong end of a lot of whistles. I thought it was bad officiating on both sides of the court. I thought against the Rockets game, the officials tried to steal the game with the trigger happy technical fouls thrown. That was a little ridiculous. And some of them were like, dude, that's not a technical foul. That happens every single play.
Yeah.
And I thought the Denver game, Jokic, he does a really good job of making it look like he's getting fouled and he's not. I thought the Magic game, though, was pretty ridiculous. And if you listen to the post game show, Luka, for as much as he drove it in that game, he only had one free throw attempt going into the last 3 minutes of the game.
Oh,
and that's just unacceptable to have that many drives to the basket and only have one free throw attempt. You're telling me that
the
Magic...
odds?
Yeah, exactly. You're telling me that the Magic never fouled when Luka drove it into the lane? I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And obviously, Luka got a technical foul. But I just thought the officiating in these last three games, they really could have made it about the officiating. It was really close.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the Mavericks won the games, but if they had lost, you know, we would probably be hearing a lot more about the bad officiating.
Yeah, so Luka's technical, that's obviously been on Mavs fans' minds, and like, we've complained about Luka's complaining, which makes us better than him, because we can complain about it.
Yes,
it's okay.
But he can't complain.
But, you know, because it does affect them in the game, and that was one example of that. I do think, though, that this year it's been a lot less.
Yes.
It's been a whole lot less. And go
ahead. Yeah, well, thankfully, the start of the season was so bad that Carlisle had to have said something.
Or
somebody in the Mavs organization pulled him aside and said, look,
bro,
we're on another level. You're in a preseason game and you're getting technical fouls complaining about the officiating.
Yeah.
And so, and they had to show the film of their fast break. Defense was just atrocious because, you know, he's jogging
or
his arms
not even
way up
getting
in the
back.
Air. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And also, I noticed that it's been a lot less, but also in that game after he got the technical, he didn't complain again after that because obviously he doesn't want to get ejected. But I did notice it was like after a timeout, he was having, it looked like a mature adult conversation with the ref on, why is this not a foul? It was like a long conversation of trying to work out what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a good sign. I mean, he's willing to have that conversation and he didn't complain for the rest of the game. You know, he doesn't want to get thrown out, but I feel like it hasn't been as bad this year.
Yeah.
So I
but
feel
that
good
was
about
that
it.
Was my bad.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a good one. Okay. So the ugly, it's about to get really ugly for the Mavs because they first had one positive COVID test. I don't think as recording this, we don't know who it is. We just know that three players are out: Dorian, Jalen Brunson, and Josh Richardson. One of them is positive. And then today we just found out that Maxi is positive. So there's Maxi plus one other player. Those two players will have to be out 10 to 14 days, which is 5 to 8 games. And then the other two that are just quarantining for 7 days, that's
Oh, it's seven? Games. I thought it was 4 days.
I think it's seven, yeah. Jeez. So that's two games that they'll miss.
Two more?
Two more games, yeah, that they'll miss. And then, yeah, Maxi and the other one will be out for another 4, 5, 6 to 8 games. Yeah. So
you're looking at a starting lineup next game of Luka, Hardaway. I think Owandu takes it over Josh Green because,
his,
you know,
defense against the Magic was surprisingly good.
Yeah. And then James Johnson probably starting at the four for Maxi. Yeah. And then Cauley-Stein at the five with your bench. Trey Burke
and Powell. Yeah. And Josh Green, and
hopefully nobody else has to play.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's a
it's gonna be tough.
It's gonna be rough. Yeah.
I wonder, look, there's some, and I don't know if anybody has any inside knowledge of when Porzingis is coming back.
I have inside knowledge. Wow, but, I like how you just brush that off. Like,
okay. I'm trying to make a point here, okay? Sorry. It's not about you.
Sorry.
I think it's Skinwade that mentions that he thinks they might bring him back in the Hornets game because they didn't want to bring him back in the Pelicans and have to deal with Steven Adams elbowing him across
Steven
the face.
Steven Adams is out.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah, migraine. Oh. I was like, yes!
Good. So
I can be happy because a migraine isn't serious.
I'm thinking, if I'm the Mavericks, if your intention is to bring him back against the Hornets, considering the situation, can you bring him back one game early?
Yeah.
Just out of necessity. I'm not asking you to play him 40 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, just to help offset the lack of players that we have. And it's just one game. Is it really going to hurt? Clearly, he's healthy. Mm-hmm. You just targeted the Hornets.
Maybe.
And if, maybe. If Steven Adams is out and he's healthy, ready to go, why not?
Yeah, I mean, if that is it, if it's just a one game
if his name was Dwight Powell, he would have been the starter last game.
Yeah.
Forever.
If it was that just one game difference, then just bring him back.
Just bring him back.
They're going to be so short. And look, I'm not saying I want to risk injury or putting his career in jeopardy, but if it's a one game difference, that's
not putting any risk. Yeah.
Yeah. It can't make that much of a difference. Now, if it's longer, I get it. But yeah, it's going to be rough for the Mavericks. I mean, but a lot of teams are dealing with this. They actually just announced that they're postponing the game between the Celtics and Heat, I think. Mm-hmm. Or it was the Heat and somebody. So that's going on anyways. So
hopefully they can still get some wins during this time period.
Yeah, so we'll see. But that's the ugly coming up for the Mavericks because it is. I mean, thankfully, the one against the Magic, they had players out too, and it's the Magic anyways.
And their next two games aren't against, you know, the Lakers and the Clippers. It's the Pelicans and the Hornets.
Yeah, so of course they already lost against the Hornets.
Well, good. Then chances are we'll beat them.
Yeah, true. We'll get to our game predictions at the end of the episode, but that's the good, the bad, and the ugly for us. Share your thoughts on those in the YouTube comments or on Twitter. Let's get to some listener comments from the Twitters and the YouTubes. I'm thinking I want to, I don't know, maybe alternate these, or I'll just share the comments and we can react
to them.
That's
not overcomplicated.
Let's not overcomplicate it. I don't need to overcomplicate it. So first of all, you already shared your thoughts. People were really anxious to hear your thoughts on the new lineup change.
I mean, if you want a fiery topic, for me, why in the heck did it take so long?
Well, you know, we already talked about how Rick Carlisle, he likes to get like all of the data. It has to be 1,000% conclusive that he needs to change
only when it's going against how he feels. Like, he loves Dwight Powell.
Yeah.
So he was going to give him every waking inch. If that was Willie Cauley-Stein to start the season and they started 0-2 or whatever, he would have been benched the next game. But
I think I'd have to agree with
you. So to me, why in the world did it take so long? It was completely obvious what was going on.
And now they're 3-0, and this lineup is really great.
And you sacrificed
defense is great. Yeah.
You sacrificed wins to show favoritism, because that's what he does, and that's what he does with Dwight Powell, and that's the fiery side that I was holding back. Okay,
preach
move on.
It. Okay, next. This is from at Luke6824. This, I got a little confused, so just, he's like, hear me out. We trade Powell, Brunson, and 1-2 picks for Drummond, then...
No.
Not Drummond.
No.
You don't want Andre Drummond.
No, I love Drummond.
A lot of people want Andre Drummond.
I think Drummond is a really great rebounder, but what do you can't play Porzingis at the four. Porzingis is not mobile enough to play the four. Yeah. You can't have two bigs.
Well, he would play the five on defense.
And so Drummond's going to play the four on defense? You're going to have him running around chasing
Drummond
Kevin Durant?
Drummond would play the four.
Exactly. So you can't, yeah. as the Mavs needed defense and rebounding, you just can't do two bigs like that. If it were Anthony Davis,
yeah,
then you could play him at the four and have Drummond back there. But Porzingis just isn't mobile enough to guard a Kevin Durant, an Anthony Davis.
Yeah, you right. Okay, Luke, we heard you.
Great
out.
Point.
The answer,
and
no.
I think a lot of the answer, I think a lot of people like Drummond. I just don't think the Mavericks are ever going to go back
Not
to
a
the
good
two
fit.
Bigs.
Okay, this is from Juan Castrense. At Juan Ton Soup. Oh, that's creative. I like that. Okay. Because he spelled it J-U-A-N-T-O-N.
Okay, we get it. Just move on.
Okay.
All right.
I like the idea of not having permanent starting lineups. Today's game is about stylistic matchups and having deep benches, and Rick is a master at fully utilizing players. So do you think they'll have a permanent starting lineup once KP comes back?
I mean, I personally hope so. I mean, I don't like the idea personally. Because you want to have, and again, you know, to these commenters, I'm just a dude. Okay. I'm not an analyst. I'm just a Mavs fan like you. And I still work every day, you know.
How
so,
humble.
No, I'm just
I
saying.
I put my pants on one leg at a time like you do.
Have you ever heard of me
I just
doing
record
anything
a world class pod once I put them
a
on.
World class pod. All 20 listeners. No, it's so, you know, this is just my opinion. I appreciate it, but no, I would prefer a stable lineup because that just means you have
good
players.
You have five players that are obviously good enough to start every single game.
Yes.
To me, like, yeah, you might make some adjustments depending, but for the most part, if you don't know who's going to start game to game, you don't have five good players.
And you want to minimize the amount of adjustments you have to make. You want to force your opponent to have to adjust more to what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay, this is from at Crowlone. Crowlone?
No, you're butchering these
Crowlone.
Names.
Crowlone. 98. This person said The Last Jedi was bad. I think that was in response
Thank
to
you.
Your rant.
No, he's 100% correct. It's one of the worst movies of all time.
It's not one of the worst
it
movies
is one
of
the
it's
the movie is
Star Wars
set in space and they miss the most basic aspects of space.
That was
there is no gravity up
last
there.
Last episode. Yes. Okay. This is a YouTube comment from Mihailo Kovacevic.
Okay. Why don't you just try to actually say them correctly?
You know what? I am actually trying.
Hey, that's tough.
Kovacevic. Okay. I think they need to add something on trade deadline because this offseason class is garbage. They need to get a good center, maybe someone like Turner, Drummond, Allen, probably Jared Allen, and of course some good wings because Hardaway is not a good option if you want to be a contender. So we already talked about Drummond, but...
Yeah, again, I think with the center thing, I just, I don't think the Mavs can do the two bigs. I just don't think Porzingis is agile enough to...
Play the four.
The four.
And then
defense.
Other big, if he's like Drummond,
the five.
He can't play the four.
Exactly.
On defense.
Yeah, so I think you're better off doing really what you want at your power forward is what Maxey does. Mm-hmm. Now, you would love to have somebody who is a known quality, you know, a star.
Maybe Maxey is that guy.
He might be.
He hit the freaking
he might be.
Winnering
He might
shot.
Be. Maybe he just needs an opportunity in the playoffs like last year. to show what he's got.
Another opportunity.
Another opportunity.
Yeah.
But I think you need those three wings, but your four doesn't want to be a small wing. I mean, honestly, one of the best fits at power forward for the Mavericks would be Draymond. Draymond Green.
Yeah, but maybe Maxey is like Draymond.
Let's hope. Well, in some ways, on defensive
side. In terms of his defensive versatility. And yeah. Yeah, and I think, so he talked about Hardaway not being a starter. I've always said, and I love it now, that Hardaway is coming off the bench. I think he is the ideal sixth man. I've always wanted him to come off the bench. So yeah, I mean, if he's like your sixth man and then you have another, you know, legit starter there, I like that idea.
Well, and Hardaway has an opportunity to win sixth man of the year. That's how explosive he can be on offense. So when he comes off the bench, he doesn't have to worry about defense. He can just go out there and score. Shoot.
Yeah.
And he has a chance of winning sixth man of the year.
This is from Luca Skywalker.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Get it?
Uh-huh. I get it.
Because it's like Luke Skywalker, but it's Luca. Okay. Yeah. Hardaway is lowering his trade value again. Brunson stock is rising, but if there's one thing I care less for than Powell, it's undersized guards. If there's one thing Carlisle loves more than Powell, guards. It's undersized guards. Willie Cauley-Stein, the hero this city needs, not the hero we deserve. We would benefit from him getting more consistent minutes. Rick. This was, I think, before they changed the starting lineup, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Those crisp rotations, him patrolling the paint like a 7-foot sentinel, slapping the lunch tray out of our opponent's hands, ranked 7th in the universe. Awesome. Wow.
He sure thinks very highly
of Cauley-Stein.
Now, I will agree with one thing, well, a couple different things, but the main thing was Willie Cauley-Stein isn't the kind of player you can give spot minutes to. I felt like in order for him to impact the game, he's got to really feel the game. He's got to be involved in the game to have some kind of rhythm. He's not a kind of player, and Carlisle loves those guys that you can sit for 6 days and then throw them out there like a Corey Brewer, and then he sparks his 16-point comeback in the playoffs. Cauley-Stein is not that type of player. He needs to play consistently if he's going to have an impact.
Yeah, so he's been great. Like, we already talked about that. Once he goes back to the bench, how will that affect things?
Yeah. Then, you know, we've talked a lot about Jalen Brunson and the backup point guard position.
Yes. I like Jalen Brunson.
He's nice, but I don't... I'm just going to say it once and we'll move on.
Okay.
George Hill does not want to be in Oklahoma City. They don't want him there.
Trade for him.
Okay. Him and Horford.
Okay.
Horford be your backup center.
Next comment, also from YouTube, so from simple. Zeno of Elia, which I feel like that's something that I don't know about. Zeno of Elia? Elie. Okay.
You want to do a pod about
that? The comment is, the combination of Richardson, Hardaway, and Dorian doesn't work. Which I think, because how we talked about Dorian at the four just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Hardaway and Dorian are out of position and are too small. Exactly. Yeah, it affects Hardaway too.
Yes.
I like Dorian, but he needs to move to the three to be effective.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah,
you should be a guest host.
Yeah, you should be Zeno L. Yeah, whatever. In my opinion, the Mavs need a rebounding center. My first thought is Andre Drummond. Trade Hardaway, Boban, and a young piece like Brunson, Green, or Terry.
I agree with all that except Boban.
Boban.
Yeah.
Drummond immediately solves the rebounding issues and it moves Dorian to the three when Porzingis returns. So a lot of it is like, Drummond, which we've already talked about. And I mean, we agree on getting a better backup center, but is it Drummond?
Yeah. No. I don't think it's Drummond. I guess
as a backup center.
No, he's not a backup.
But
Yeah. To me, it's Al Horford. You're just going to have to pay.
Okay. It's Al Horford.
I mean, you want to talk about the best backup center available out there. Plus, when Porzingis rests.
Yeah.
You know, he's a quality center. Yeah, sorry. I won't take a lot of time on that.
No, that's all right. Okay, last comment from Joe David. That's from YouTube. I like that he has two first names as his name. Okay. Mavs are relying too much on three. When it's not falling, they're done. They cannot resort to other ways as if two-point shots has no value. They do shoot a lot of threes, and a lot of times they don't make them.
Well, this is the problem when you have a lot of one-dimensional guys.
Yeah.
They
have a lot of specialists.
Yes, and they're not even good. They're not even great. You know, they're not Klay Thompsons. Yeah, they're okay. So that's the problem. You have one playmaker distributing to average shooters. And, you know, sometimes they're not going to go in, but they can't do anything else except shoot. Have you ever seen Dorian drive it?
Yeah, actually, this season he has done that a lot more.
He's done it like twice.
No, he does it like one or two times a game.
Well, and there's a reason why he doesn't do it very often.
But you know what? He's better at it than he used to be. Used to be it was an automatic turnover. This year, he's actually scored on some of those sometimes.
Okay, I'll give you that, but you don't want it's not his Dorian game. Drive yeah. into the basket.
Now, I think Josh Richardson, he's become a little more aggressive in these past three games, so maybe he can do a little bit of that. But I like we've talked about that before, how the Mavs have a lot of specialists, and so and none of them really their speciality is
they're not
playmaking.
Great at anything, but they fit in the system well.
Yes. Okay, those are listener comments.
Thank you.
Leave them down below in the comment section on YouTube or tweet us. I'm at _ Sydney Myers or at Dallas Hoops Cast. Okay, let's move on to a game called Tired or Wired. So in Tired or Wired, I'm going to read a stat and then give a tired reaction to it and a wired reaction to it. And you have to decide which reaction you're reacting, which reaction is your reaction to the stat.
I have no idea what you just said, but go ahead.
Okay, so first, Willie Cauley-Stein is 10th in the league in defensive rating and first on the Mavs. The tired reaction, Willie Cauley-Stein has had a pretty good stretch of games, which we talked about. Wired, Willie Cauley-Stein is Tyson Chandler reincarnated.
He's definitely not Tyson Chandler reincarnated.
We talked about this, I think, in the beginning when they first got him, that he does kind of look like Tyson Chandler.
He looks nothing like
in
Tyson.
The face.
What?
In the face, he does. Okay. And his body's type style.
No, Tyson was a little bit stronger. He wasn't as lanky. You know, Willie Cauley-Stein's arms, you know,
drag
are
the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
It's been three games. So let's
oh,
you know,
now we're playing the calm down card.
We were never that high on Willie Cauley-Stein.
No, I mean, because
but
we
to
always
sit here and say that he's Tyson Chandler reincarnated, first of all, Tyson Chandler's not dead.
Well,
he's
you
still
know,
alive.
In basketball,
his career
spirit.
Reincarnated.
Yeah.
So, he's been great, but you're not depending on him. Like, when Porzingis comes back, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's can true.
Bring
he's
Porzingis
going to
off
the
bench? Yeah.
Okay, fine. Next, Luka Doncic is shooting 70% in clutch situations. Josh Richardson is shooting 60% in clutch situations. And that duo is 9th in the league in points per game among guards. So tired, Richardson has been a great addition to this team. Or wired, Luka and Richardson are low-key the best backcourt duo in the league.
No.
They're 9th in
Luka
is in points per game.
Yes.
And yeah, Luka is averaging like 30.
And Richardson,
you know,
12.
And they combine for 63 points. But
there is no way they combine for 63 and Luka averages 30. That means Josh Richardson averages 33 points a game.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. But I got this from NBAstats.com. Oh, no, wait.
Maybe per 100 possessions?
Yeah, maybe it was per point. I don't know. This
per game?
NBAstats.com says 63 points.
If Richardson was averaging 33 points a game, then yes, they would be the best duo in the league.
Boom. Next.
Oh, okay. Settled.
Solved that one. Okay. The Mavericks have the third best differential in points scored and opponent points allowed in the West. So tired, the Mavericks are better than their record indicates, or wired, the Mavs will finish third in the Western Conference.
I mean, I think both of those can be true. They're definitely not as bad as their start.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're a championship team, but they were not 2-4 team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can they be third in the West? A lot of that depends on Porzingis. You know, how healthy he can be and how much Corona time teams miss or players miss on the team.
Yeah. Will they be third in the West? I don't know. I'm working on a piece right now of what it would take for Luka to win MVP. A lot of that depends on their record. And at the time, they were on pace to not win a ton of games. They had like a 500 record, so you can do the math. But with every game they play where they're looking better, I don't know, maybe a fourth seed is an option, is doable. Okay, so that was tired or wired. Leave your reactions in the comments, which one you're taking, tired or wired. Let's do a game called A-B testing.
Yay.
Little business vernacular for our marketing listeners. A/B testing. It's a marketing thing. Like,
oh,
you wouldn't know.
No.
So just,
I wouldn't care.
But if you're in marketing, you know what it means. So, okay.
All three of you.
So I'm going to give the box line for two players. This is from a game, obviously.
Should hope so.
One of the players is a Maverick and the other one is not. And you have to pick which player you want, which player you take. Okay.
Luca.
Okay. You're not going to know the name.
Well, I'll take Luca.
You have to guess.
I don't care who it is.
Which is the Mav or which one you want.
All right, let's do this.
Round one. Player A, 23 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Player B, 16 points, 5 rebounds.
Well, why wouldn't I take the player that's averaging 23 and 5? And 7.
I don't know. No, not averaging. This is from a game.
Oh, one game. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Again, this is why wouldn't score. I take the guy that did 23, 7, and 5 compared to 16 and 5?
Well,
I'm clearly
game.
Taking the guy that takes 20. That
player A? Okay.
Player A.
Player A is Colby White of the Bulls. Player B is Maxey. That was his line against
okay.
the Bulls.
I changed my pick to player B. Colby White is...
okay, round two.
Not very good.
So already...
What? Colby White?
You suck at this game.
Yep.
Okay, round two. Player A, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Player B, 21 points, 9 assists.
So I think player A... is James Johnson. I think that was a stat that he had from a couple of games ago.
Okay.
Player B, I have no idea.
So it was 21 and 9 versus 14 and 8.
You know
and
what?
A
no.
Of
player A
and...
is Dorian. That's okay. what he did against Denver.
Okay.
All right. Player B, 21. I think that's Jamal Murray.
I'm not reacting to
anything. So I'm going to take Jamal Murray over Dorian Finney-Smith.
Man, that was good. That was good.
I do what I do.
So, yeah, player...
You need to get a new game that embarrasses me, because I got this one down.
Yeah, 21 points, 9 assists. That was Jamal Murray. But Dorian, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, which is basically Dorian in a nutshell.
Every 5 games.
No, he does that every game.
No, he does not. He averages
yes,
like
he
8
does.
Points a game.
No, he doesn't. Okay. Round 3. Player A, 15 points, 1 rebound, 1 steal. Player B...
Tim.
21 points, 10 assists, 3 rebounds. So 15 points, 1 rebound, 1 steal, 21 points, 10 assists, 3 rebounds.
I think player A is Tim Hardaway. And player B is James Harden. And I'm going to take Tim Hardaway only because James Harden is a really strange guy.
So you're sort of... wrong. Player A was Josh Richardson.
Oh, man. Okay.
Against the Rockets.
All right.
Player
I thought that
B,
was Tim Hardaway.
Player B was James
oh,
Harden.
Oh, you know what? Tim Hardaway did have... He had 30 points in that Rockets
yeah.
game. Okay. I'm
yeah.
still taking Josh Richardson only because I don't want anything to do with James Harden. I don't want him messing with Luka's
yeah.
game plan
or
and
anything.
And the
yeah.
practice time for the Mavs.
I got you.
Let somebody else
so
have
that
him.
Was good. That was
all
good.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I see you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Player A... 0 points, 4 rebounds.
Dwight Powell.
Player B, 0 points, 9 rebounds, 3
Maxey
assists.
Maxey Kleba. I think Maxey's player B.
Okay.
And then player A is... I have no idea. Maybe that's... I think that's Paul Millsap.
Okay.
I don't know. I just guessed. But I'm taking Maxey.
So, player... You're taking player B?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a tough one. You were right, it is Maxey. He had 0 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists against the Rockets. Player A was P.J. Tucker, who had 0 points and 4 rebounds.
Yeah, I'm still taking Maxey just because P.J. Tucker's 95 years old.
Yeah, okay. Round 5.
Oh my God, how many of these are there?
Your face.
Okay.
Player A. Oh, this was going to be hard for me to not give it away. I'm going to try to not
Let
react.
Me guess. One of them is
no.
Luka.
Player A, 39 points, 5 assists, 6 rebounds. Player B, 31 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds.
That's Zach LaVine against Jalen Brunson, and I'm taking Zach LaVine.
How did did you know that?
Well, that was against the Bulls. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, but I mean, how do you memorize these lines?
I didn't think it was that hard. I thought that's what people did.
Okay, last one, so you can stop whining. Player A. I almost said the name. Player A. 2 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists.
Probably Dwight Powell.
Player B. 2 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist.
Definitely not Dwight Powell. Well, actually, that one might be Dwight Powell because he did have 1 8-rebound game. You can't, covering your face doesn't do it. You sit right in front of
I'm
me.
I'm trying not to. Okay. I don't want to give it away.
It sounds like you're crying in the background. Okay, I'm going to take anybody that's not Dwight Powell. So whichever A or B is not Dwight Powell, that's who I'm taking.
I'm not going to tell you who that
A,
player.
I'm taking A. Because I think Dwight Powell had an 8-rebound game recently, so I'm taking A.
Man, I thought these were good.
They were. I'm just awesome.
Wow. Mr. Humility tonight. Player A. Okay, so player B was Dwight Powell.
Yep.
He had 2 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist against the Heat. Who do you think player A is?
Butler.
Oh, man. Yeah, it Jimmy was Jimmy Butler. He had 2 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists in the...
You want to talk about a perfect fit for the Mavericks game. As small forward,
yeah,
Jimmy Butler would
he ain't
be
coming
the dream.
Here. All right, let's do game predictions. Pelicans, Hornets, Bucks, what you got?
You know, if Steven Adams is out against the Mavs and the Mavs don't lose anybody else, the Mavs have a real shot at winning that game.
The Pelicans are 4-5.
Yes, but the Mavs are a better team, and automatically they're a better team because Luka is the best player on the court.
But with this roster,
I think if you can get guys step up like you did against the Magic.
The Magic.
Obviously, you're not going to get 30-29 from Burke and Hardaway, and I'm not sure you need that, but you need the players to step up.
Yeah,
I think the Mavericks can beat the Pelicans without their four of their starting lineup.
Yeah.
that's a bold statement. Now that I say it like that, that might be a little ridiculous.
Interesting strategy.
But I'm not going to count Luka out against that game. For some reason, I think Luka wants to kill the Pelicans because the great Zion Williamson. And if only Luka can be as good as Zion, he might get his own
he
shoe.
He might get his own
and
shoe.
And maybe if he was as popular as him and wasn't second in jersey sales, then he might have got his own shoe. I understand why Zion got it. All 30 games he's played.
Hey, it was like 25.
Yes. So maybe Luka can be at that level one point.
One day.
But I think Luka wants to kind of make sure Zion knows what's up. Yeah.
Hornets, Bucks, please don't spend 5 minutes on that like you did the Pelicans game.
They beat the Hornets.
Okay.
And depending on who's back against the Bucks, I'm going to sweep
regardless.
They sweep it.
What?
They sweep it.
Really?
They're feeling it right now.
Okay.
And because they've won 3 in a row, I'm feeling it. Only because I'm feeling good about the Mavs right now, and obviously they'll probably lose against the Pelicans, and I'll have a rant. But they sweep it.
Write it down. I say 1-2. I think they can beat either the Pelicans or the Hornets.
I think they can win one
of those games. But I think they're definitely losing to the Bucks.
The Bucks haven't been that great
this year.
They're
5-4, and
they have
a good roster.
Yeah. And the Mavs played well against him in the preseason.
But again, they're going to be without...
Maybe some
of these guys will be back, assuming they don't test positive. They will be back for the Bucks game, but Maxey will still be out, and whoever that other player is that has it will also be out.
But you also might have Porzingis back.
True. Okay. I'm still saying 1-2. I don't know who it's going to be, but I'm saying 1-2. And it might be the Bucks, and they might lose to the other two. I don't know with all these players out, but that's what I'm saying. Those are our predictions. Let us know what yours are in the comment section below or on the Twitters.
This is the longest podcast ever.
It has
are we ever going to eat
been
dinner?
A significantly long episode. I appreciate everyone for listening. Thank you to Pride and Prejudice for sponsoring this episode. If we weren't recording.
No. If at this point everybody had stopped listening.
And they're not even. Yeah.
And so we're just
I
talking.
Still enjoy the conversation between you and I.
Yay.
Okay. So thanks guys for listening. I'm on Twitter @_SydneyMyers. The site is DallasHoopsCast.com. Anything else you want to add, Martin, Mr. Voice of the People? I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like you.
I didn't mean it to come out that way. I'm just like...
Look, I'm just like you guys. I'm just a regular guy.
Well, I mean, in all reality, I'm not an analyst. I don't work for any big sport company. Yeah. I'm not part of the Ringer. I sit on a sofa just like everybody else and watch the Mavs drinking a beer.
So...
I know, like fake humility.
Anyways.
I'm just like you.
All right, we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Yeah. Good morning.
Bye.
That's how long we've been doing this.